We're talking about America's lumber crunch and what effects the shortage is having on Wisconsin builders. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Glad you could be here. Lumber is very expensive and in short supply. It's all over the headlines, this lumber mania, as Vox called it. And we wanted to find out what the implications are for Wisconsin. Are you building a new home, or are you a contractor who needs wood to do your jobs? Maybe you work at a mill. Maybe you're a logger. Share what you're experiencing in the supply chain with the wood supply shortage, the costs, 800-642-1234. Zach Schultz is a reporter for PBS Wisconsin's Here and Now. He's been reporting on the state of the lumber industry. Zach, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Well, thanks for having me.
Well, put this in perspective for us. How high is high? What is happening in the lumber industry with the costs?
Well, one of the ways that the industry itself measures the cost of lumber is by what's called composite board feet, 1,000 composite board feet. And that's just adding up all the 2x4s or all the plywood and putting them together. And a year ago, 1,000 composite board feet was going for around $353.
Mm-hmm.
Just last week, it was $1,359. So we're looking at tripling and approaching quadrupling the cost of 1,000 board feet for the exact same 1,000 board of feet for lumber in just a year. And really, they don't see an end in sight anytime soon.
So all the finger pointing as to why the spike, why the soaring costs. Take us back in time. What is contributing to these prices?
It's supply and demand, and the problem is on both ends of that equation. There isn't enough supply. There really wasn't quite enough supply before the pandemic, and then it got a lot worse. And demand has dramatically increased since the pandemic started. Now, the demand, I think most people can understand. People who've been working remotely have been feeling like they're stuck at home. They wanted to remodel. They want to build a new deck, maybe add on to the house. They've got some increased money. And so that demand is there. Other people saying, I'm getting out of the city. I got to build a house out in the country. Housing starts are way up over recent years. So the demand is there for more lumber to build. Then the supply end, most of the sawmills shut down last spring. They were actually anticipating a poor year for lumber demand because they didn't know what the economy would look like. And it took them quite a bit of time to come back online. And even before the pandemic, there was a question of whether there was enough sawmill capacity in the United States to meet demand.
Hmm. And so there's been some talk about underinvestment in the lumber industry. I wonder if those factors, or maybe that the industry hasn't modernized, kept up with demand.
Yeah, and it depends on what size sawmill you're talking about, because there are some monster facilities that have the most up-to-date technology. And then there's some what you would almost consider the old mom and pop facilities that are still going, that still make a living. They still support the people there. But they haven't quite modernized with all the electronic sawmills. They may still be relying on someone using their eye and a ruler to measure out how to get the best lumber out of or timber out of each log. And the capacity isn't there for what they need. Now, there's more in the pipeline, but we're still looking at a couple years away from some of that capacity coming online.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Zach Schultz, who's a reporter for PBS Wisconsin's Here and Now. He's telling us about his reporting on the lumber industry and what's behind the rising cost and tight inventory. Have lumber prices put a wrench in your building plans? What are you seeing at your local hardware store? Have you put your projects on hold because of lumber? 800-642-1234. Anthony is with us from Stevens Point. Hi, Anthony. I understand you're a contractor.
Yes, I work with contractors, and I'm a radon mitigator in our area. And one of the things I've noticed, it's not just lumber that's increased. It's also I use pipe for my radon mitigation system. Since last fall, that has doubled. I've noticed that the wiring used for houses, just kind of follow the price on that. Since last fall, that has tripled.
Mm.
So it's not just the lumber industry that's an issue. It's everything involved in the house. And I just talked to one contractor last week, and he had 3 contracts lined up for this year, and everybody backed out of them. So I think this is going to affect the building industry, even though they say that because interest rates are high. It's not, but I think it is.
Well, Anthony, thank you for your perspective from inside the industry. And Zach, this is hitting all aspects of the supply chain.
That's right. Lumber is most noticeable because that's the thing that the average homeowner is still likely to go out and perhaps buy on their own. They might go to Home Depot or Lowe's and look for some 2x4s to do whatever kind of project. They're less likely to be looking for industrial size, you know, lengths of pipe. Or some of the contractors told me that glue, insulation, some drywall. Last year we heard about appliances. Everything in the international supply chain is in flux at the moment. And as soon as you put more demand on it, you find out that there are pinch points in this world trade system. Lumber is more noticeable, but it's there.
You talked with someone who had built a house, I think finished it off last August, and they were trying to compare what that cost of their house would be to build it now. What did they tell you?
Yes, he's a man who lives up in Eagle River. He just built his dream house out in the woods with his family, and he met his builder over the winter, and he had heard about timber prices going up. And he said just casually, hey, how much more would it cost? And the builder said $40,000 to $50,000 more. And this isn't some mansion. I mean, it's a nice house. It's a modern house. But that doesn't even include the pole shed or any of the other things that he wants to build. His wife has horses. And he said, now we have to put our pole shed plans on hold while we figure out how we're going to get money. If the bid had come in at that point and they hadn't been done, he said they would not have been able to build the house.
Yeah, so what happens then when a construction loan is set up to build a new house? How do you account for these prices?
It's if the loan is set and the bank is not able to renegotiate or they're already in the middle of the process, it's usually up to the homeowner to come up with cash on hand. And that can really force people to back out or reconsider. Sometimes if it's a small amount, the contractor can try and eat some of that cost. A lot of contracts come with a little bit of a buffer built into it for these reasons, maybe 10 to 15%, depending on the contract. But that's not enough to handle this rise in increased prices. So a lot of people are just having to back away from a contract right now. I've heard of some contractors who, when they are putting out projections and bids for houses, saying, we're not going to include the cost of lumber at this point. When
wow.
we get to the point where I'm building it, then I will give you a price. But I can't afford to take the risk that whatever price I set now will be nowhere near accurate 6 months from now when I actually get to putting up your house.
Yeah, I mean, so your contingency fund could be eaten up entirely by the overage cost of your lumber estimates. I mean, it wouldn't allow room for much else.
No, not at all. And what it's doing in some cases is it's pricing out some of the people that are trying to get into their dream homes or trying to upgrade their homes and simply don't have the cash on hand. The wealthy will be able to afford this. The people with bigger credit lines who are starting now will be able to afford this because they can just ask for a bigger loan. But some of the people in that moment will really feel the crunch.
PBS Wisconsin journalist Zach Schultz with us has been reporting on what's behind the incredible rise in lumber prices, what it means for Wisconsin residents. What questions do you have about this supply-demand issue? Are you trying to repair or remodel your home or build one? Are you a carpenter? How has the price of lumber affected your building projects or your customers? And what decisions have you made to make do in this time? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Zach Schultz here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about the lumber frenzy, the run-up on wood, and what it means for our state. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. According to the National Association of Home Builders, the price of lumber has tripled in the last year, with the average new single-family home costing about $36,000 more due to the situation. Are you trying to build, or are you a supplier who can't keep inventory on the shelf? What do you think about the Great Recession's impact? 800-642-1234. Zach Schultz is with us, a journalist with PBS Wisconsin's Here and Now, and he's telling about his reporting on the industry. Matt is joining us from Nisida. Hi, Matt. What are you seeing?
Hi there. So we moved into a new-to-us home a couple of years ago, and we've been remodeling it basically since. So very fortunate to have gotten most of it in before these price increases. But pretty major remodel. We're redoing the floor plan, brand new kitchen, plumbing, wiring, everything. We're doing it ourselves. The one thing, two things that I wasn't willing to do was mudding and sanding. Put all the drywall up. I did not want to mud and sand. And we want a picture window. And I just wasn't comfortable putting a large picture window in by myself.
Yeah.
To find someone to come mud and sand took 2 months. 2 months, they're booked out 2 months, and to order the window would be a 3 to 4 month lead time, and to get someone to put that in, we don't even know if anybody has the availability. So it's not just the materials, it's also the contractors that are extremely busy and really can't even, in our experience, take on new work.
Yeah, Matt, thank you for that. And Matt, having so much difficulty even finding a contractor to do the work. You know, Zach, you talked with contractors. What did they tell you?
Right now, their demand is not slowing down. I've got one person I spoke with said that he doesn't even list the houses. He builds them on spec and people just find them through word of mouth and buy them from him. Other contractors are saying they're working 6 months out. There is a fear that there's a bubble out there somewhere because most of these people were around during the last bubble about 15 years ago. But at this point, they're not seeing it. So right now, it's just that natural fear that comes in when the market feels too hot. Mm. But it is crazy right now trying to get anyone to do any labor for you. There are so many people left the industry. There wasn't enough support in the first place that there is a real shortage of people to do some of this work.
Well, let's talk about loggers in this formula. What does the increased price mean for loggers in Wisconsin?
Unfortunately, for the loggers that I spoke with, it doesn't mean much. Some of them are saying that they're actually making less per load than they were a year ago, simply because the cost of everything else has risen. Hmm. They're not seeing the price increases passed down to them, and they're really feeling the pinch. We're seeing people lose the industry, and this could become another supply bottleneck in the future if there aren't enough logging contractors available to cut down the trees and haul them to market.
So what about the sawmills then? Have sawmills been able to see some of these profits?
If you want to find where the money's going, if anyone's making money, it's the sawmills right now. And that depends on the size of the sawmill and how much they're able to produce. But the profit margins for some of the larger companies across the country are going way up right now. One of the sawmills from Wisconsin, they own two mills here, say they're not really seeing too much in price increase in profit, that they're just trying to hold steady, that their costs have gone up for transportation to keep people in the building. And so they're saying they're not seeing all the profit, but compared to the other people who are saying they're seeing none of it or actually losing money, it's pretty evident that if there is profit being made in this, it is going to the sawmills.
Explain for us how lumber prices are set and how they are, you know, go up and down. Can you kind of explain how the market works?
Well, everything is openly traded. There's a futures market for it, just like any other commodity. Timber is considered part of the United States Department of Agriculture, so it's another crop, just like corn or soybeans. But it's on obviously a much different time scale. And the difference with it is most of the people that are harvesting it don't own their own property. The mm-hmm. logging contractors aren't logging on their own land. They're either letting out bids for private or for public land. And one of the groups that incidentally sets a lot of the market prices is a journalist trade organization called Random Lengths. They're based in Eugene, Oregon, and they have market reporters that call around and look for open transactions all across the country and the globe to figure out how much everything's going for. And then they report that. But what we're seeing is some of these sawmills are actually using that reporting to set their own prices. And
wow.
When you speak with the Random Lengths editors, they say, we don't want that to happen because that can dramatically influence what we're reporting. We have to exclude those costs from our actual information. But that does affect the standard where one sawmill is not setting it according to what people are paying here, but what's being paid elsewhere in the country.
We're talking with Zach Schultz, a reporter for PBS Wisconsin's Here Now. He's telling us about the state of the lumber industry and what's behind the high prices. With your insights, 800-642-1234. We heard from him. Bill called in from Superior and said the Louisiana Pacific and Hayward makes plywood. It's not accepting plywood shipments anymore since middle of last year. And Bill said this will not get better even before we get more lumber. 2x4s not $10 instead of $5. So Bill, very concerned about shipments. Jim from Beaver Dam called, couldn't stay. And he knows construction workers that in his area, not skinning houses in plywood anymore, only doing corners for strength, and the rest of the house is getting done with foam board. Do you see on that, Zach, are contractors pivoting with the supplies they're using, with the products they're using to build homes?
There's definitely a shift occurring in terms of how careful they're being with the supplies they can get. I mean, they're going to finish a house any way they can. They're not going to leave people sitting idly by because they can't get the proper materials. It used to be if you framed out a timber frame house, you would have lots of boards used at various times to help support or to hold up an angle or a corner until it got secured. And then a lot of times, if it had two nails in it, they'd throw it in the dumpster because it was worth so little. And now what we're hearing is builders and contractors are being very conscious about trying to reuse anything they can because they know the value in it and they may not be able to replace it.
Wow. Yeah. So certainly conservation there as well. John is joining us from Stevenson, Michigan. John, what are you seeing?
Okay. Hey, listen, we have some standing timber that probably should be cut and harvested. And normally they used to like pay about 25%. Am I expected to get a better price for my standing timber now than before?
John, thank you. Zach, what about the person with a timber stand? Will they get a better price?
When you speak to the loggers right now, the answer is probably no. Unfortunately, the timber is there. I mean, there's wood in a lot of places. It's not that there's not enough of the trees standing. It's simply the sawmill capacity. So until there's more capacity to actually cut that timber into boards, the demand and the price for the actual standing timber likely won't go up anytime soon.
Let's look beyond our borders. What are the impacts of tariffs on this commodity? Are high tariffs causing less lumber to flow into our country?
Absolutely. The Trump administration put tariffs on lumber imports from Canada. And those were lowered last December after they saw evidence that that was not working out well for supply in the United States. But there's still tariffs in place. And a lot of the industry people are hoping that those will actually get wiped out, that that'll increase supply. There's international concerns just with the amount of trees in Canada, because they've had some issues. There have been issues in the Western United States as far as having some of that standing timber capacity and the ability to have access to cut it down. But a lot of the pinch point is not so much in the trees standing, it's elsewhere in the chain.
It's elsewhere in the supply chain. What about any impact of federal aid, federal pandemic aid coming from the government? Is the lumber industry getting any help?
The second COVID relief bill, the one that was part of the ongoing funding of government that was passed last December, did include $200 million for loggers. But that money hasn't been distributed yet. It's been allocated to the USDA, and Wisconsin's U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin was one of a number of U.S. senators that sent a letter saying, please release this money. The loggers desperately need it. And the logger I spoke to, who's president of the Great Lakes Timber Professionals Association, says they have a fear that they're not going to see that money at all, that either the USDA thinks they're the ones getting rich off these increased prices, or because it's part of agriculture, they're going to find some other area that they feel has greater need. So the money is there. It hasn't been allocated. And that's a real concern for loggers that they might never see it.
Jolene called from Viroqua, couldn't stay, and is wondering if you could address whether the cost of crude oil is affecting the industry across the board, along with the price of insulation. And could this be part of a bigger scenario, a bigger picture that goes well beyond lumber prices?
Well, there's certainly transportation costs involved in all of this. It's hard to point to any one other factor for the lumber supply in general. When you look at the overall housing costs, then certainly all of those factors have to be included internationally. But lumber mostly has to do with sawmill capacity at this point. Once that increases, that should open up that to a degree. It just depends on whether demand keeps going up, and that's in part on interest rates and people's willing to pay for new houses.
Right. So this period of low interest rates, really tight existing housing stock, is also really factoring into the equation.
Absolutely. The demand for housing was there pre-pandemic, and it's actually risen since then because so many people are completely reevaluating their lives, where they want to be, where they want to live. I mean, if you want to look at an outside factor that really could impact this, it's the expansion of broadband. The access for people to move to a rural area and build their dream house out in the country and then still work remotely could only increase the demand for timber to build new homes.
Zach, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Zach Schultz is a reporter for PBS Wisconsin's Here and Now. His recent piece is called What's Pushing Record Lumber Prices and Who in Wisconsin is Benefiting? We have a link at WPR.org/mornings. Coming up, we ask a security expert for guidance on how to prevent violence within the workplace. Does your workplace run active shooter drills? How often? What happens when you participate? 800-642-1234. We'll be back after a news update on the Ideas Network.